Well, Enzeem, it's November, but yet there's still a lot of golf going on here in the Chicago area. It's our third straight day of temperatures of at least in the mid to upper 50s. Yesterday, it got up to 65, and our understanding is next week we're supposed to have some days right in front of and during Thanksgiving and maybe a day or two afterwards where the temperature will be between 55 and 60, and people are still getting out and playing. Several courses next week have what they're calling turkey shoots or turkey trot tournaments on Friday and Saturday. And there's a golf season going on here in Chicago as we approach Black Friday.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's funny. It's great that it's going on in Chicago, but it's also the golf season's going on for our tour players. And this has been quite a good week. It's very early in the week, but still, on the LPGA Tour, when I last checked, maybe about an hour ago, Elizabeth Zocal, the only player from Illinois on the tour now. She's from Winnetka and former Northwestern and Virginia player, but she's in her second year on the LPGA Tour. She's in fourth place in their tournament over in the Tampa area, the Pelican Invitational, I think it's called, Pelican Championship. And then on the PGA Tour, they're down and playing in Georgia. Doug Gim yesterday, rookie on the PGA Tour, he shot 65 and was tied for third, a shot off the lead. He was a late starter today, so I don't have an update on Doug. But Kevin Streelman was a later starter yesterday, but he improved dramatically with a 67 today. And this could well be Kevin's last event of the year if he has a good one, because he'll skip Mexico as assured of a spot in the top 50 in the world rankings in the end of December when the PGA Tour season ends, because that'll get him into the Masters again in April 2021. So it's been a good week. It's been a good time to check out the scores here in Florida. The weather finally cleared up, and we actually got a game in this week, the first one that we've played in about seven weeks, I think. So life is good, and golf is going good, too.
Well, and I have to tell you, I did get some golf in this week. I saw Mistwood Golf Club, and it was nice to see all the work that has been done this fall. So many areas cleaned out. The golf course and the property looks absolutely fantastic. I have to believe if the late owner, Jim McWethy, was still alive, he'd just be so pleased right now with how great Mistwood looks. You know, when you see the golf course and its current condition, you say, gosh, I wish it was July, because it would be... It would be fun to know that there's a few months instead of a few days ahead yet to play golf at Mistwood this year. Also, yesterday I played the Schaumburg Golf Club. Of course, its final nine, the tournament nine, just reopened in late July, and outstanding. Absolutely. The nine really looks good. It's even matured a lot in the 2 months that it's been since I've been there last. Played with a couple of local area golfers that both came from the Buffalo Grove area. They said that what I said, that Schaumburg looks the best that they've ever seen it, and everybody very impressed with what's going on at Schaumburg Golf Club. And everybody in Schaumburg, John Parsons, the Illinois PGA Section Pro and GM, the superintendent and his staff, the park board, have a lot to be proud of how that entire renovation turned out. Schaumburg yesterday, in spite of extremely windy conditions here, had something close to 350 golfers booked yesterday on their 27 holes. And it's just nice to see that people have responded to the work that's been done there and are also still getting out to play golf at this time of year.
You know, it's strange, not all the way across the board for golf. Whoever would have thought that there would be much in the way of tournament golf or any of the pro tours in December. But this year, there certainly is. I mean, we have the Mayakoba Classic concluding the PGA Tour season the first week of December. We have the U.S. Women's Open in December. We have their season-ending CME Tour. It's like the Tour Championship for the men. But that comes after that. That gets into mid-December. And then we just had an announcement this week. The Tiger Woods, your friend Tiger Woods, is going to play a tournament in December this year. Of course, it's a little bit different. It's called the PNC Championship. It used to be a father-son event. Now it's broadened its scope And Tiger is going to play in this with his 11-year-old boy here in the Orlando area. So, and that tournament now also gets now Justin Thomas playing with his dad, Annika Sorenstam playing with her dad. It's no spectators. It'll be on TV, though. Anyway, it's whoever thought we'd have all this much golf in December, and then, you know, won't be, who knows how long, it won't be very long. And they'll be playing out in Hawaii on the PGA Tour, and hopefully life will be back to normal by then. But, you know, it's just really, if you think about it, sometimes I just sit back and think about what's been going on in golf this year, and it's amazing. Who could have ever thought a lot of the things that have happened? I mean, the Masters in November, you know, you look down the list of winners on the PGA Tour and probably the Women's Tour, too. I haven't studied that one as closely as I should have, other than for Elizabeth, but crazy year, and it's closing in on the end of it. That's a good thing.
Well, then I have to tell you that I think it's great news that Tiger is going to play in this event with his son. Fantastic. However, I was really surprised at the overreaction to that story. You would think there was nothing else going on in the golf world that this became such a big deal the other day when it was announced. Really? That's all we have to talk about is he's going to play golf with his kid? Well, you know what? It's really good that he is, and it's really nice that a lot of people are playing golf with their kids this year, but I would think that whether it's, you know, obviously due to the pandemic or whatever, that a lot of parents are spending time on the golf course this year with their kids is probably just as big a story that hasn't got the attention that did the other day. So speaking of Tiger, how about his incredible finish at the Masters? One of the craziest back nines I've ever seen on a Sunday. He makes a 10 on a hole. Somehow, somehow I would say there's about four guys that wish he had made that 10 on number 12 last year. Yeah. All the people who lost the tournament when he made par on 12 a year ago, and they all put it in the drink. But then give Tiger credit, because after 12, he birdied five of the last six holes coming in. Obviously, no pressure at that point, and he can just kind of wheel it around and have some fun. Kind of a crazy finish for him on what they call the back nine on Sunday at Augusta National.
You know, I tell you, that was crazy for him, but the statistic, this isn't a good one. It's understandable, I think, though. The Masters, I was reading today, the Masters TV coverage. Now, that's normally, you know, playing in the spring, everybody's dying to see golf, whatever. Masters TV coverage was down almost 50%. I tell you, I mean, I know that without spectators and all, I think it's great that they held the Masters. I think it's great, but I never thought I'd see a day, even with a weird year like this, where you'd see that's one of the very few downer stories affecting golf in this whole year. Most everything has been a positive story. So anyway, that's kind of a sobering thought. But again, I think it's probably just somewhat a sign of the time. Anyway, you and I are going to have fun with our golf. That's for sure. We still got some golf to play this whole winter. I know you're going to be not staying in Chicago forever, so we've got a lot of things to tell our listeners as the weeks unfold.
Well, it's sad to say that the PGA merchandise show is going to go virtual this year, whatever that means. Seems like many of the businesses that have a booth there in the convention center are still trying to get some guidance from the PGA of America as to exactly how that's all going to work. We hope that before the holidays, we get into the Christmas and New Year's time of year, that these companies actually get some kind of direction on how that's all going to go and how our media people like us going to be able to cover this show. It remains to be seen. I hope to get to Florida and visit a couple of properties and convince people that Florida should still be a winter destination for golfers, and they shouldn't be scared to go to Florida. I know our Governor J.B. Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot don't want anybody to go to Florida, and they're trying to scare people to not go there and or any of the other 40-some states that are on our quarantine list. But realistically, at this point, with what's going on here in Illinois, I think a lot of people should grab their clubs once the snow and the cold really hit here in Chicago and go to places like Florida, Arizona, whatever, Hawaii, Texas, anywhere you can get some warm weather and play some golf and not be intimidated by the politicians. A thought here, finally, on the Masters, I thought Dustin Johnson played incredibly. I actually had him. He was my pick to win. And I liked how he played, his approach for 4 days. And now with 23 wins on tour and tour majors, we're not just talking about a guy who's a big hitter anymore. I think we're talking about a guy who's a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. I think that one may have pushed him over the brink. He got that second major. That was the one. And I think if you had to pick the two majors for the sake of Hall of Fame, boy, the Masters, and he having a Masters and a U.S. Open, that's pretty darn good. He lost the PGA in a playoff. I don't think he's had a good showing yet in the British Open. But I think we're going to see more majors out of him. He's really, you know what, it's funny. He's up there getting older and everything. But he really has, his golf game has matured terrifically, only especially in just the last few years. I remember I was at the PGA at Whistling Straits when he lost a spot in a playoff because he hit a ball out of what was determined to be a bunker, grounded his club in a bunker. That kept him out of that playoff. I was with him my last tournament with the Chicago Sun-Times. I was with him at Pebble Beach. He had a 3-shot lead going to the last nine and that lead, round, and that lead was gone inside of 4 holes. So I don't think you're going to see those kind of things happen to Dustin Johnson anymore. You know, I've always just been in awe of his athletic skills. His touches and his putting has improved so much. He's always been a great athlete, but now he isn't just a good golfer. He's become a great golfer, and I think we're going to see more and more performances like we saw at the Masters from him in the big tournaments down the road.
Well, from a story I saw, Dustin Johnson, as you mentioned, has a runner-up finish at the PGA and apparently a runner-up finish at the British Open. So he's got 2 wins in the 4 majors, and he's got runner-up finishes in the 2 that he hasn't won. And I got to believe before his career is over that he will definitely win a PGA or British Open, or maybe both. He may join that Grand Slam club. Who knows, before some of the other guys do. Phil Mickelson still needs a U.S. Open. Rory McIlroy still needs a Masters. Jordan Spieth still needs a PGA. Those were the next 3 players that were expected to join the career Grand Slam club, and they haven't. And who knows, Dustin Johnson either might take at least 1 step closer, if not wrap it up, come 2021. Speaking of 2021, the majors of next year present some interesting challenges. Of course, the Masters will be back at Augusta National. Then we will go to the PGA at Kiawah Island in South Carolina, followed by the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, and finally the British Open at Royal St. George's. And got to believe that next year's majors will be very interesting to watch.
You know, the one that really intrigues me is this next year. I'm really intrigued, maybe more than the others at this point, is when they go to Kiawah. I mean, Kiawah has been is a place that I've played there. I've played that course. I really liked it. It was a heck of a lot of fun. But, you know, I remember the War by the Shore, the Ryder Cup there that I'm going to think of the year, early 90s, I believe. But it was really, in a lot of ways, the Ryder Cup that spurred the intensity of that competition and made it one of the great events in all of sports, great team events in all of sports. So that's the one that kind of has me intrigued now. I think I know they've done some building at Kiawah. They had a problem there when the last time I believe it was a PGA was held there, and they needed some more lodging, and they built a big lodge there. So I think I'm as excited about the PGA as I am about any of the majors next year. I think it's going to really really give a new twist to that tournament. Playing in as a spring event again, but this year it did nothing. The schedule didn't reflect anything like that. But at Kiawah, I think it can only be a good show.
Kiawah is the one that I'm looking forward to the most next year. I've seen enough golf at Torrey Pines, and it'll be nice in June, and there'll probably be some paragliders sailing past off the coast, and, you know, we've seen that 100 times, and, you know, Royal St. George's, last time I was there, we had a great finish, but Kiawah will be interesting. There's been a lot done since the last PGA. Of course, you mentioned the War by the Shore, which I want to say was 91. I think that's right, and, you know, I remember remember talking about Kiowa with the late Pete Dye, the designer of the golf course at one point. And Pete told me that they were getting ready to work there. And they sort of started a little bit. And a hurricane came through and did some damage to the coastline there. And Pete told me that he says in order to put the coastline back together, they were able to do certain things to make the golf course a little bit better. And he said, we got permission to do things that if we were trying to get it permitted today, meaning, maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I talked to Pete, he said, we would have never gotten permission to do those type of things, you know, in 2015 that we got in the 1980s, because a part of our work out there was to repair the shoreline. So he says everything came together at the right time and helped make that golf course what it is today. And it should be pretty interesting. So anyway, Len, what I'm curious about is what we're going to hear from PGA Tour players. It sounded like a lot of players, if for no other reason, to be on the safe side and to stay healthy, and maybe are a little tired of traveling in the bubble concept, or just looking forward to going home, being with their families. And I suspect there's a lot of guys we're not going to see until Kapalua tees off the first week of January.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, this was always a time when the PGA guys had shut it down. I mean, there's... they call it the silly season. There will be a few exhibitions and things like that. Something that can be a made-for-TV kind of thing, like this PNC father-son deal. You'll keep your appetite for golf for going for a while. But I really can't blame them. I mean, that had to be a very tough way to travel. They couldn't bring their families on these tournaments. They had to be staying in this. I mean, the restrictions got lifted. Lessons as we went along occasionally, but I think the only tour events that had spectators were Houston and the Bermuda Open. And spectators were, the guys had to stay in the same hotels basically. They couldn't bring family for most all the whole time there. That's a tough road to hoe that way, but Much to the credit of the tour, they were the first sport to get back in action once the pandemic, the particulars kind of became obvious to everyone and all the other sports, and that was a spoke well for golf and how they did it, how it played out. These guys deserve a little break, but you know what? January, those are good tournaments coming up. I'm sure they won't be out for long. It'll be the Tournament of Champions. That's always a sign that good things are ahead. It's great to just look at the scenery on TV when you see that tournament going. So I don't think it's going to be any big factor, but I wouldn't blame players at all to take an extra tournament off or two in the winter.
Well, Century Insurance, now with their name on board the Tournament of Champions there at Kapalua. Century Insurance, of course, did the nice job, Century World Golf Course up there, Stevens Point in Wisconsin, and redid that golf course with the famed Flower Hole very nicely. Len, speaking of the PGA Tour, we had an announcement here regarding Chicago's PGA Tour stop, the BMW Championship. And hey, in 2022, it's going to stay out on the East Coast. It's going to go to Delaware and the outstanding Wilmington Golf Club, Country Club there. But again, it marks 2 years in a row without the PGA Tour coming to Chicago. And, you know, you have to wonder what that really does to the golf community here. You talk to people who own golf courses. Frank Jemsek was always outspoken and said that Cog Hill, Pine Meadow, St. Andrews always had a big golf boom when the tour was in town. For a couple of weeks before it'd get here and for a couple of weeks after it left town, people would go out and see the pros, or they'd sit at the driving range and watch these guys try to pick up a tip or two and then want to take it out to the golf course themselves. And Frank always called it a spike for business for at least a month on the front and back end of the tournament. And here we are, two straight years without the PGA Tour in town is what lies ahead of us. I don't know. LA doesn't miss a year. New York doesn't miss a year. You have to wonder why Chicago misses 1 year, much less two.
Yeah, you know, I've never, of course, being a Chicago guy like you, we hate to ever see the PGA Tour leave Chicago, and it's got to hurt the community here. Now, on the other side of the coin, the Western Golf Association wants to raise money for college scholarships. That's their mission, and they have found a good ways to do it by taking the tournament to places like Crooked Stick, tournaments that have, and Wilmington, Delaware is coming up next. I mean, areas where they're starved for tournament golf. I mean, PGA Tour has never visited Delaware. They're going to for the 2022 BMW Championship. You know, they'll be financial successes. And still, on the other hand, the WGA does have a tour event. The Corn Ferry Tour has been a Chicago regular stop. This year it's going to be back at the Glen Club. They have their junior tournaments, and they have the Women's Western Amateur. You know, those are basically played in the Chicago area most of the time. So it's not like they've left Chicago, but boy, you hate to see the PGA Tour not being an annual attraction here. I thought it was painful when they went to another every other year situation, and now, you know, really, who knows? It may be less that they may be in Chicago even less than that. I will just say that was a tough one to see that it was going to be now up to 2 years away in a row, and no guarantees that it wouldn't be three or four.
Well, what I do like that the WGA is offering, and you mentioned some of it, we do know that in the next 2 years, while the PGA Tour won't be here, the Western Amateur will be here, and it'll be at two great clubs, the famed Glenview Golf Club Historic, where the Western Amateur started, realistically, over 100 years ago. And then, of course, the following year, it's going to be at Exmoor, a great club up in Highland Park. In the next 2 years, also, we know the Evan Scholars invitation will be at the Glen Club in 21. It wouldn't surprise me to see it back there again in 22. Then you have the Western Junior for the boys, and that's going to be here for at least 3 years in the Chicago area. On Wednesday in 21, Naperville Country Club in 22. Midlothian in 23. That's great news. And then on the women's side, the Women's Western Amateur headed to Park Ridge that just saw some upgrades from architect Greg Martin. The golf course looks great. Know that they also have an event coming to Aurora Country Club. I believe the junior, Women's Western Junior, will be there. So there is plenty of Western golf on the men's and women's side around town the next couple of years, and we do applaud them for it. It'll be interesting to see in a couple of years when that BMW agreement expires again, whether they sign on for some more golf or if somebody else comes in, local company that keeps the tour in town year after year. I still think it would be great if the PGA Tour came to town and sort of rotated around four or five different venues around the Chicago area. Speaking of different venues, Len, we've got some work going on at some of the courses around town. Architect Greg Martin tells me things are really starting to roll out at Settlers Hill, has invited me to come out and take a peek at that. And I know that course is going to be closed next year, and they're going to go full speed ahead and having that golf course ready for 22. They will get a new clubhouse out there. In the meantime, closer to our neck of the woods here in the northwest suburbs, Fox Run, that clubhouse is really starting to take shape in the last few weeks. They're hoping to get that up and out of the ground. The foundation was getting poured the other day. The concrete was going in on Tuesday when I was there. They're hoping to have enough of the structure up so that the guys can keep working indoors during the winter. And also, I saw Sportsman's this past week, and that clubhouse, that ground where they're building that was nothing but dirt at the end of July, and things got rolling in August. They've made a lot of progress in 3.5 months, and that building is pretty big. It's come out of the ground, and I believe that they will have that place enclosed, and workmen will be able to keep going full speed ahead in the colder months.
All those that you mentioned, you gave a great listing of all of them there. I think the one that is going to be the most visually different of all these places is going to be Sportsman's. I think that what they're doing there is it's basically they just wiped out they made a whole fresh new landscape over there. That's going to be that's going to really be something, because I think that that location is good. I think it was, you know, it just needed it. It had a range. It had 27 holes at an older clubhouse, and I think it's in the heart of some real good enthusiastic golf area there. I think that may be the one that catches the eye ahead of all the others once all is said and done?
Well, it also will be a pretty spectacular clubhouse, and we should be able to see pretty much what it looks like from the outside over at the Preserve at Oak Meadows as well. That's the one that actually started last year and should be the furthest ahead along construction-wise. But the other ones, it's amazing how fast Northbrook Sportsman's and over at Fox Run, how fast those clubhouses are going up. I know that it'll be a while before the staffs can move into their offices. And at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, they are hoping to be in their office and fully settled into their clubhouse by the time the Preserve opens, whatever opening day turns out to be in 2021. Well, Len, you know what? I think that will be a wrap for the week. Next week, we'll have to think some golf holiday gift ideas, and maybe we can tee up the podcast again before Black Friday hits. For those that are going to start shopping Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week, or maybe even on Wednesday, we might have to have a few ideas for them.
I think we'll come up with something.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of good stuff on the market in golf this year.
Yeah.
Maybe better than any other year.